So good being here this morning. Glad you are all here with me. We are in our series, Greatest Hits, and I am going far back in the archives for another sermon this morning. And I'm going to take a few ideas from sermons that I've done over the past 10, 12, 13 years or so, combine them together in order to talk about Awaken, our history, where we are today, and then where we are going as a community. What I want to do is I want to talk about June 13th, 2010. We're going back about 13 years because this is the first time in a sermon that I ever publicly spoke about Awaken. This would have been the first time that I publicly spoke about what's happening here right now in this moment. And the sermon for me on June 13th, I shared a story in scripture that was, still continues to be, a deeply meaningful story for me. It was a scripture that really gave me a framework for understanding what I was doing when I started Awaken. Again, just like last week as I shared, I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't have that awareness, but looking back on all these sermons, I see how the stories, the Bible verses, the scripture stories that I'm using, really meaningful and shaping for me as a person and for this particular church. And so I look back on it now with fresh eyes and I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize what I was up to 13 years ago, but now I see how this story impacted me and how the story shaped this community. Let's do a little time travel. We're going to go back 13 years, June 13th, 2010. Some of you might have been in attendance during the sermon. Before I got up here to speak, Laura's like, hey, can you have some sermon video instead of just audio? Your wish is my command, Laura. Let's do a little sermon video from 13 years ago.
Good morning. We're in the second week of our sermon series, The God Factor. Last week we talked about God being sovereign and how God is the one who desires to run the show rather than us. And today we're going to look at one of the biggest things that bothers me about the Christian faith today, about Christianity today, and that's the power of God, or the seeming lack thereof. Now, I read through the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, I see all these miracles. God's parting the Red Sea. He's turning a few fish and loaves of bread into enough food to feed the multitudes. And yet, I take a look at where we are today, and I don't often see that power at work. And so we got to look and we say, well, what's going on here? Is all the stories that we read, are they fabricated? Are they made up just to have some nice stories about this God? Or is God losing his power? Right? Maybe he could do that back then, but then today, just can't do it anymore. And so we're going to take a look today at a story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18, which I believe really gets to the mystery of this power of God. I believe it's going to reveal a little about why today we don't often see God's power the way we saw it back in biblical times.
2010, Dave. Oh, man. This series has been so much fun. Now, as I reviewed this sermon, I was wondering, well, am I the only one who is asking this question? And I realized, chances are, no. This is a question that many people are asking. Maybe a question that many of you are asking today or you've asked in the past. The more I thought about it, the more I sat with this sermon, because I watched it a couple of weeks ago, I realized that Awaken, this church that I started, it's me inviting others into my journey of exploration. The way I thought about it this week is I get to play in a sandbox when I created Awaken, and you get to play with me in my sandbox. My journey of exploration, I'm inviting you into it. This is what I was doing with this sermon 13 years ago. I had this question, okay, well, why aren't we seeing God's power at work? This is something, I mean, that was personal to me. This is something that bothers me about the Christian faith. I wanted to explore it. I wanted to come up with an answer. And I understand answers are, they're lacking. You can't always get down to the heart of the question that you're asking. But I was trying to explore this question. Awaken, the first vision that we had 13 years ago when Awaken was started, was to create an awareness to God's presence. We said we did that in three ways. You know what the first way was? It's on the board behind me. Who remembers that? Right over here in row E. You guys were there. Like, row E, come on. Represent. Ongoing exploration. Because that was personal to me. I wanted a church. I wanted a space, a community where I could explore the questions that I had about faith, the questions that I had about God. And I realized, as I've been doing this now for 15 years, I'm not the only one who has questions. And normally the way it works is that the question that you have, well, the person sitting next to you might have the same question as well. Or if not the person next to you, the person two seats over. You come to realize the question that you're asking is a question that 75% of us, or maybe even 100% of us, are asking. As I've been doing Awaken, since I started Awaken, I've realized the questions that I have been exploring in my sermons in this community are questions that other people are asking. And I'm just inviting you into my journey of exploring faith and Jesus and God and the Spirit and what that all means for us today in our lives. A foundational truth for me is that we are all students. When I get up here to give a sermon, when I start preparing for a sermon, the way in which I view myself, the lens through which I view what I'm doing is I'm a student and I'm learning. And if I can learn a couple of things, if I can see some new things, well, then I want to share it with you because we're all students. We're all learning. That's what it means to be a disciple. Our new vision statement of Awaken, our new mission, create followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus means that we are all students of the life that Jesus is offering us. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Which raises endless questions, or at least it should raise endless questions. If you have no questions about your faith, I would argue that you're doing it wrong. I mean, think about the way in which Jesus taught. People came to him with what? Their questions. And then how did Jesus answer? With a question. So then they asked another, and then Jesus asked a. That's how you go deeper and deeper. That's how you learn. Through a parable, which then raises, I mean, how many questions does a parable raise? But that's how you learn something. That's how you grow in something. So whenever you would ask a question back at Jesus, Jesus was giving you an opportunity to dive into it a little bit deeper. And then when you came back to Jesus with a question, it meant that you processed it to a certain level, but then that processing led you to another cliff. So it's like different levels. So you get here, then there's another question. And then as you explore that question, you like bust the door open into another room, and then there's another room and another room. So we are all students on this journey. Oh yeah, that whole time, which deeper learning, and there's always, maybe I put six questions on a page, but I mean, how many other questions get thrown out? And the questions don't get answered. That's a beautiful thing though. That's a beautiful thing. We shouldn't come to the end of our asking, the end of our learning. So Awaken, I see it as a sandbox that I'm playing in, and you all are playing with me, building sandcastles and digging and having fun in this. Now, this story that I talked about in this sermon from June 13th, 2010, was from 1 Kings 18. I have preached about this story a couple of times. This was a story that has deeply, deeply shaped me. I remember going to Israel, and the story takes place on Mount Carmel in Israel. I remember going to this location, being there on the top of Mount Carmel. And do you want to know something? It wasn't as impressive as I thought it would be. It was the top of a mountain with a whole bunch of rocks. There's a great view. We were there, and my professor was reading the story of 1 Kings to us. Yes, it was impressive to a certain degree, but just sitting there on the mountain, thinking about this story that took place right there where we were sitting, it was a powerful moment. So in 1 Kings 18, you have this showdown on the top of the mountain. You have Elijah, who is the prophet of Yahweh. There's one faithful prophet in the land. And then you have all these other prophets of these foreign gods, these idols. So we have 450 prophets of Baal and then 400 prophets of Asherah. We have 850 prophets versus one. The prophets of Baal and Asherah versus Elijah. And the king at the time, he was a corrupt king, Ahab. Not a really good king. not someone that you would want to follow, wasn't leading the people in the way of God. And Ahab was following the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Asherah. And what there was going to be was this showdown, as I term it here. Who was more powerful? Was it Baal or was it Yahweh? So Ahab, Elijah, they gather all the Israelites because we are, and here's a picture. I have a picture actually of what it looked like, just like this. Actual footage from the event thousands of years ago. All the people are gathered together. There was going to be some fire. And who was going to come out on top? Who would be the victor? Now, before they had this little magic show that was going to be done, here's how Elijah addresses the people, the Israelites. Ahab the king sent word throughout all Israel. He assembled all these prophets, 850 prophets, on Mount Carmel. Now, Elijah went before the people. Remember, here are all the Israelites. We're all together on the top of this mountain. And for once and for all, Elijah and the prophets are going to determine who should we follow, Yahweh or Baal and Asherah. And so Elijah goes and he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? Because if you're an Israelite in the world at this time, you were going back and forth. You wanted to worship Yahweh because this was the God of your ancestors, but yet it appeared as if Baal was growing a greater following. Baal had more followers on Instagram than Yahweh did. There were more, Baal was more of an influencer at this time than Yahweh was. And Elijah wanted the people to make a decision. You go to church on Sunday, but then the rest of the week, you're following after, but you're liking his stuff on Instagram, but you're not even following Yahweh on that thing. So Elijah goes and he says, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, we'll follow him. But if you believe that Baal is God, then follow him. He's giving them a choice. Follow this God or follow this God. You know what the people say? And I love this. Such a powerful line right here. He's giving them a choice, and here's what they say. The people said nothing. They can't make a decision. They're indecisive. They're stuck. They have one foot here and then another foot over here. They're wavering back and forth. One moment, they're following Yahweh. The other moment, they're following Baal. As I thought about this story, the question that I had, well, okay, why do we lack God's power in our lives? Because we waver. Because we're indecisive at times. You ever have to make a decision? You don't know which path to take? And you kind of waver back and forth between those two decisions for a while? And the more that decision weighs on you, the more fatigue sets in. The more power life gets drained from you. Have you ever been there before? There's a big decision looming. You can't sleep at night. Or you think about it all day long. It's distracting. It's taking you away from what's right there in front of you. One moment you're thinking you should do this. The next moment you're thinking you should do this. Well, the longer and longer it goes, the more power is taken from you. The more life is removed from your soul. I had a friend and he told me that he was wavering back and forth between whether or not he should marry this woman in his life. Eventually, she comes up to him and is like, hey, either you know what or get off the pot. And how often do we just sit there between these two decisions, wavering back and forth? And I get it. If it's a big life decision, then yes, it takes a lot of time to think through and process through and to ask all those questions. But the longer we go, the more power gets removed from us. I would argue, here's what I've seen, is that when we go back and forth between following God or following the other things that seem appealing, that are enticing, we then don't give the Spirit's power an opportunity to flow through us. Why do we lack the Spirit's power in our life? Because we don't fully commit ourselves to one path. We like to keep our options open. We don't commit to planting both of our feet and then moving forward in that direction. We're timid in how we move forward because we think, well, I still want to keep this path open, But the real power lies when you plant both your feet and commit to a path. When you stop wavering and going back and forth, but you say, you know what? This is the direction I'm going in. Let's see what happens. Let's see where it goes. Maybe in the future I'll walk a different path, but for right now I'm going to close all these other doors and I'm going to walk straight forward into this room. Here's what I believe. God wants to use your life, your very life, your existence, your breath, in order to reveal grace, love, and healing to our world. Why don't we often see God's power? Because we waver. We don't commit to a path. We don't commit to a certain way of being. We go back and forth. We get distracted. We believe other voices. We follow other voices instead of moving forward in a particular direction so that God's power can be revealed and to flow through us. I believe God's power is revealed as we firmly plant our feet. For me, 2010, it was my first time making a public commitment to Awaken. And once you say something publicly, you pretty much have to follow through with it. I have used this before many times where I have publicly come out and said, I am going to do this. I remember last year, I wanted to do an Advent devotional. December 1st, I came out publicly. I wrote it down, so it was on the internet, and you have to believe everything that's on the internet, of course. I wrote it down on the internet, and I said, every single day from now until Christmas, I am going to do a Christmas devotional. You know what? There were some days I didn't want to do it. There were some days I woke up, I was like, I have nothing here. I'm tired. There's other things I want to be doing. But because I had publicly put that out there, because I had publicly declared, this is what I am going to do, I followed through with it. I had planted my feet, and I loved it. I got some great feedback about it. For me, in 2010, this was me planting my feet saying, I want to trust God in this. I want to see God's power revealed in my life. I want to be a channel through which love and healing and grace can flow. So when I got up there, June 13th, 2010, I told every single person who was sitting there listening to me that day, here is what I am going to do. We have another video for us with the skinny black tie.
Come the fall here, I will be planting a church in White Plains that's going to be geared towards young adults in their 20s, 30s. For those that have no faith background, for those that might have given up on church, for those who say, you know what? The church is completely irrelevant and it doesn't matter to my life at all. And I want to change that view. Like Elijah, he was ready to step out to risk and say, God, I'm ready for a challenge. I want the people of Israel to know you in a real way. That's my heart. For people in White Plains, people my age, to see God at work, to see his power at work in a mighty way.
And then I followed through with it, because you can't announce something like that. And 2 weeks later, you know what? I kind of changed my mind on that one. I think I'm going to just go over here and do this. So from 2010 till now, it's been an amazing journey for Awaken. There are many stories. I look back and it's been real fun going back over these sermons because it brings back different moments in my life, different people who are a part of Awaken, different stories, different events, things that we did together. I mean, there's things that I had even forgotten. Like, who remembers diaper packing in Scarsdale? Remember that one? That was actually, I want to go back. Can we go back again? I think that was pre-COVID because you had about 200 people packed into a room the size of this, maybe even smaller than this. I've met some amazing people at Awaken, people who have, they've since moved away. They are no longer a part of our community. Honestly, I've seen God's power at work in people's lives. We've done baptisms. People who have publicly, again, there's that public commitment. People who have publicly committed and said, I want to follow Jesus with my life. There's something about this Jesus. There's something about his life, about the grace that Jesus offers, and I want to trust that grace. I want to trust his invitation to follow. We've seen stories of healing for people. People who have had exactly what I said there in my sermon. Rough church experiences. Tough experiences. Bad church experiences. Bad experience about God. People in church leadership, and they've come here and they have received healing. They have seen, they've witnessed a new version of God. People who have come here, they've walked through the doors and they have reconnected with God. People who said, I want no part of God, then after a while, they ever so slightly decided to put one toe into the water. And so Awaken has been a place where people can reconnect with God. So from 2010 till now, 13 years, it has been an amazing journey. I've loved it. I'm so glad that I stepped out and did it. And then in June, we gave an update. We mentioned our finances and where we were financially. And our finances have not changed in the past month. We started this year with a little under $100,000 in the bank. We're now hovering somewhere in the 80s. So we are dipping into our nest egg at Awaken. And we realize that this is not good. This is not sustainable. And we have talked about this at Awaken before. And we realize that if things stay status quo as they've been, we are going to have to reevaluate how we are doing things, reevaluate what we're doing, and if it is something that is still sustainable for us. We talked about two aspects of goals that we had established for 2023. One was to grow awareness of Awaken. How do we let more people know that we exist? And I'm going to talk about this in one moment. A second goal, which we hadn't reached as of June 2023, was to reinstitute live worship. We have now had Keaton here for 3 weeks in a row. It makes a world of difference having live worship. Then, yes. And this was the first Sunday we did not have any technical difficulties with our audio video. We were thinking that Keaton was a bad omen. No, not at all. So we are very happy that we have had live worship, and we'll continue. But where we are is we are in a precarious position right now with the church. And so we are going to do, I guess, what we'll call a final big push. Over the next 6 months, we will be launching a big marketing campaign. We just started working with an organization last week, signing contracts and trying to grow awareness of Awaken. Because as we said early this year, this is still the number one thing that we have to do as a church. In order for us to keep being sustainable, to keep being here and doing what we are doing, we are going to need to grow our church. So we have a big six-month marketing push. And over the past couple of months, we've been having conversations about the vision of Awaken. We have talked with the denomination that we're a part of. They threw out some ideas to us. And personally, and as a board, we kept coming back to, well, we still believe in this vision. We still believe in Awaken and what we're doing and the vision that we have established. Obviously, when I started, I had thought it would be for people my age in their 20s. That has changed, which is great. I'm not in my 20s anymore either, so I'm not even in my 30s anymore. My goodness. that aspect has changed. But being a place for people who feel disconnected from God, or being a place for people who have given up on religion or church, I think it's still needed in our world today. And so I still believe in the vision of Awaken. And I want to give you some of the good news and some of the bad news about church in America and why I still believe a church like Awaken needs to be in existence. First, the bad news. Let's start with the bad. Is that how you normally do it? You start with the bad so that you can end on a positive note? Here's the bad news. The stats of church membership in the U.S. among adults, it's on a downward trend. We're trying to grow awareness, but obviously, less and less people are coming out to church on Sunday mornings. This is the projected chart of Christians in America, people who consider themselves followers of Jesus. You can see it's been on a downward trend since 1972. To where we are today in 2020, about 64% of people, down from 90%. And by 2070, you can see those numbers, depending on what happens here. But looking at those numbers, it is projected to easily dip below 50%. Yeah, church like Awaken, there is a need for a church like this, a church for people who have given up on church, who aren't comfortable in other church settings. Three reasons for this decline: declining trust in religious institutions. There have been many church leadership scandals over the past that are highlighted in the news, and socioeconomic changes as well. Church in America, I wouldn't say it's dying, but it is declining. There's no way around that. COVID has just accelerated those numbers. People have not returned to church at the numbers that they were going to church before COVID. Now, one more piece of bad news for us. Sorry, we can't leave the bad news yet. If you notice here, here's a Gallup poll. Since 2002, if you look down at the bottom, the percentage of people interested in religion is on the decrease. All these other events are on the increase. Religion is the one that has gone into the negative. Less people are interested in religion than who were interested in religion before 2022. Now, let's talk about the good news here for a moment. Here's the good news. There is rising spiritual openness in America. If you look at these numbers here, right there, 44% of people, whoever was polled, any of you, were you polled by the Barna Group? 44% more people say that they are more open to God now than they were before the pandemic. So there's a large group of people who are more open to the spiritual now than they were before COVID. Obviously, they're not looking to the church. Which is a good and a bad thing at the same time, which I'll get to in a moment here. If you look at this, let's revisit this again. Notice the first line item right there, your community activities. More people are interested in doing things together as a community, which tells me there is something broken about the American church. If religion is down and community is up, it means that people are looking for community, but they're obviously not finding it in the church. It tells me that there is something deeply flawed about the American church. Because if people are open to exploring spiritual ideas and people want more community in their lives, well, wouldn't you think a church would be a place to go? A place to look at, unless people see that there is something flawed with the way in which we are doing church. Now here, I want to replay a video. You will recognize the players in this video. It's not me, but you will recognize some of the people who are on this video from when we started Awaken back in 2012 and some of the aspects of our vision and the type of church that we wanted to be.
And that's really the exciting part about Awaken is that we're not really worried about conforming. We're not really worried about, you know, doing things the traditional way.
We come together on Wednesday nights and we have a discussion of the night about a particular topic. We all kind of give our input, and it's great doing that as a community. You feel like you're living it together with everyone. You're not doing it as an individual. You're not left to take home a sermon at the end of the day and decipher that for yourself. You're deciphering it with others. And it feels more participatory.
You know, a lot of churches focus on the end game. What lies beyond life? Well, I want to know what lies right now in life. I want to know what's going on today, tomorrow, and next week.
You know, if you look at the gospel account, that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, he met people where they were. You know, and he didn't condemn them. He just, you know, brought them in, and he showed that that he cared about them. As a church, as a community, we want to draw people in who maybe haven't had a church experience, or have had a bad church experience, or a church experience that's been neutral or meaningless to them in the past. And it doesn't have to be that way. There is a lot to be excited about.
I still believe in that vision, everything that was said there. That's why a church like Awaken needs to exist. We need to be here. And one of the things I realized from going back over these videos and some of these older sermons is how we did it in the beginning is how we're still doing it today. The focus on community, a minimalistic aspect. It takes us like 20 minutes to set, 20 minutes, if that, right, to set up. I mean, Keaton was here before any of the rest of us here today. He came with Joe and Laura. The place was set up, and Keaton's been here 3 weeks. Joe and Laura have been here longer, and they, okay, fine. But that we have a simple setup because I want to focus on the things that are important, like coming together as a community, and that's what our world, our culture wants. I love what Rachel said. It's participatory in nature. I love what everyone said in there, but I love that we're participating in something together. It's not just one person up front giving a sermon that everyone goes home and has lunch and forgets about it, but it's rather how do we, as and Adrian talked about it, she interrupted me in the middle of my sermon. Well, that's why we do community group. Because then we can come together and we can ask the questions and we can keep exploring. And we feel like we can keep learning and walking forward together. So how we did it initially and everything that Joe said, that's why I put it in there because I love it. We're meeting people where they are. We're not forcing people to be a certain. You can come in the door, sure, but only if you look like this, smell like this, and wear this. No, you can come in the door however you are. And that's okay, because that's how we see Jesus doing it in the Gospels. Jesus meeting everyone exactly where they were. That's what you want. That's what your friends want, your family. They don't want someone coming with a heavy hand telling them exactly how to live their life. That gives no room for the Spirit to work. And I believe in a Spirit that is alive and active, a Spirit that can meet each of us right where we are and then ever so slowly move us forward in growth. And so for Awaken, we're going to keep doing it how we have always done it, continuing to focus on communal aspects. And here's, and that's why we are doing the barbecue today. And I had this slide here. And you know what? When I started Awaken, I believed this. And now seeing those stats, I believe this even more than ever. The landscape of church, religion, spirituality, and being a Christian, it is changing. It's changing. And rather than try to pull everyone back to how it was before, let's make church great again. No. No. Let's actually move forward with the Spirit, because I believe the Spirit is behind this. And I think there are certain things in the American church that need to die. And I think it's a really, really good thing for them to die, because the Spirit is always about new birth. The story of Jesus, it's about resurrection. It's about new life from death. That's what I want to focus on. So for me, I'm more committed than ever to following the way of Jesus and to being a community of people who learn together what it means to live in love and to live in grace and to bring healing. I still believe in that. I mean, looking back in these sermons, it's like, yeah. Yeah, I believe more than ever in that message and in that person and in that way of being. And if it doesn't happen in the way in which the American church has been doing it, well, then that's okay. But I still believe in what we are doing here. So we are making this big final push, 6 months of marketing in order to grow awareness of Awaken so we can continue to exist. Now, the question raised for you might be, okay, how can I participate in this? Four ways to participate. First, prayer and fasting as well, if you are into fasting. Definitely prayer. The first of every single month, so the 1st of August will be Tuesday. I would love for you to pray and fast if you would like as well. And fasting can be food, it can be social media, it can be TV. Make it work for you and however you want it to work. Don't turn it into something very rigid. Make it work for you. But on the first of every month, I would ask that you would take a certain amount of time to dedicate to praying for Awaken, for this community, and for this marketing campaign, and that others' eyes would be opened to what we're doing here, and that the Spirit would move them to come and to be a part of Awaken. Someone had also suggested, well, hey, what about if everyone prays together every single day at 12 o'clock p.m. at noon? It doesn't need to be a big thing, even if just a thought. So we're all collectively at the same time every single day, not just on the first, but every single day at 12 p.m., God, I pray for awaken. It could be that simple. Like, seriously. It's not rocket science here. Don't make it complicated. And imagine if we were all joining together at the same time every day and just uttering those simple words that once, God, I pray for awaken. I pray that others would meet the resurrected Christ through what awaken does. So that's the first way to participate, prayer and fasting. The first, and then 12 p.m. every day. Quick little sentence here. Second way, financial support. This marketing campaign, it is going to cost northwards of $10,000. And we have had some incredible donors who have given to Awaken specifically for our marketing. And they said, we want to give towards this. Let's see what we can do here. If the Spirit leads you in any way to give to the marketing campaign as well, go ahead. Would love that. You can always put cash, put a check, and just put marketing campaign. I do ask that you don't take away any tithing or regular offering that you give. If that's where you are and you can't do anymore, that's great. Thank you so much for your support. If for some reason you say, yes, I want to give a little more towards this marketing campaign, then we would gladly accept that as we really make this push here over the next 6 months. And this company has laid out a great plan for us, so we are starting to implement that plan, like I mentioned last week. Third way is your presence. Your presence. You might have noticed over the past couple of weeks, our numbers have been very, very low. That's the nature of the summer. We have a small group to begin with, and then everyone goes on vacation, and that's the nature of the summer. I get it. Don't cancel your vacation plans. I'm not saying that. If you have the option between Netflix in the morning and church, I would ask that you would set Netflix to the side and be here on a Sunday morning. Our hope is that more people will be walking through the doors over the next couple of weeks. It looks a lot better when there's even 10, 15, 20 people in a room than 4 or 5 people. So your presence here is extremely important over the next couple of weeks and over the next couple of months. And then fourth, kids. This has been a struggle for us for a while. Kids in worship from the very beginning have been the biggest struggle for Awaken. I would make a plea with you if you can volunteer one Sunday over the next 6 months, even one Sunday, to be in there with Lois. I will love you forever. I'll still love you forever, but you get the point. Lois has been working for a long time to try to get another volunteer, or we've even been looking into some paid helpers for her, because when parents come in, it's just smart. You don't want to have one adult in there. There needs to be a second adult in there just for accountability and also just to corral the kids. I know my kids are in there. They probably need like 5 adult helpers just to keep them calm. But if you can volunteer one Sunday over the next couple of months, that would be amazing and would really help Lois out, and especially with the hope that we're going to be getting more families over the next couple of months. So those are the 4 ways that you can participate with this marketing push over the next 6 months. And I'm excited for it. I am, and I really like the plan that was laid out there, and I'm excited to see what happens as a result of it. And my prayer is that 6 months from now, we'll be looking at, we'll be in a completely different situation than where we find ourselves at this moment right now. That is a little bit about where we are, where we're going. I will open it up. I mean, any questions for us or about the marketing campaign or anything anyone wants to throw out there? Yeah. So, I mean, I can tell you right now, the person we're working with is going through all of our, everything that's online, Instagram, Google Ads, Google Business Profile, Yelp, Facebook, and then looking at all the analytics, all the insights, what's been working, what hasn't been working, SEO, like looking at the website, probably update the website. So she'll make some recommendations about how to update the website, how to make it provide the information that people might be looking for when they visit a church website. And then from there, starting in the next probably 2 weeks, we're going to be doing what she calls a story campaign, which is basically shooting a whole bunch of videos about the vision of Awaken, cutting them up, and then putting them up on social media. They'll be on the website, and we'll be telling a story about who Awaken is in really small bites, because that's what people are, you know, you have the attention span that's less than a squirrel, actually. I think it's 5 seconds is the typical American attention span. So we'll cut it up into small bites for people so they can get a glimpse and a picture of, you know, who we are and what we're doing here. And then I know there's a few other aspects of it as well, but I can definitely, you know, provide that. And I think the other thing too, bringing that up, you know, if you are on social media, you know, sharing any of those videos is definitely helpful. If there's any friends, you know, that might be interested in being a part, or anyone else, you know, sharing any of that info is definitely helpful as well. I'm not sure. I think the positive is that we're right off of a major highway. So I think that is definitely, you know, a helpful part. I think wherever you move, you're going to face challenges. The other thing is, financially, when you look at the cost of rent, this for us where we are is very doable rent-wise. There's other places I know I've looked at that easily double the rent. So I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. But I think, you know, a movie theater, I know other pastors who have met in movie theaters before, and churches have grown in movie theaters, and we have parking, which was a challenge, and a couple other places. So I think, you know, there are a bunch of pros. All right. Well, let's end with communion. We haven't done communion in a while, and to me, that is central to what we do here. Us coming together and sharing from the same bread, and coming forward and admitting, humbling ourselves, admitting our need for a Savior, for a grace that's beyond ourselves, a power that is beyond what we can muster through our own strength. Let me pray here. Then you can come forward. You can take the bread, take the cup, and remember the body of Christ that was broken for your healing, for the healing of this world, the blood of Christ that was poured out to restore, to shower love upon your life and this entire world. And that's what we're doing here. We're showing people how much they're loved. I pray it would start with us, that we would be aware of how much we're loved, of this divine grace and forgiveness that is always upon us. My prayer is, as we become ever more aware of that grace, that it would flow through us, and that others would come to discover the healing power of Jesus through our lives. So God, this morning, may we feel that love. May we know it, not just in our heads, but in our hearts as well. I pray as we come forward here, as we take the bread and the cup, in a real way, may we be reminded of your great love for us. Your love that brings healing to the places in our lives that need that healing. Your love that walks with us, that whispers in our ear each day how much we're loved. If there's any ways in which we are not trusting that grace or that love, I pray that we would be able to leave them at the foot of the cross this morning, that we would walk forward from this moment, declaring, trusting, holding on to that divine love that will never leave us, but that offers power and new life. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.